Federal Parliament is back this week for a final few days before the nation heads off to the polls, with the government hoping to use tomorrow night's budget as a springboard for a successful re-election campaign. In turn, Labor has set up a showdown with the Coalition over climate change by releasing key elements of its 45% emissions reduction policy. With the May election the backdrop to everything that happens from now on, if it's not already that, Bill Shorten has declared Labor is primed for government.
Oh, we're ready. We're ready because we're stable. We're ready because we're united. We're ready because we have a more talented team. We're ready because we've done the policy work.
Opposition leader Bill Shorten, ready for this election campaign. It's not official yet, but it's due to start, we think, just days after the delivery of the federal budget. Finance Minister Matthias Cormann has had a big hand, obviously, in drafting this budget document, which will be the first in more than a decade to unveil a surplus. Matthias Cormann joins me in our Parliament House studios. Minister, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning. Good to be back.
The budget tomorrow will be followed by the election 5 or 6 weeks later. Governments rarely get a bounce from a budget these days. So what is it in tomorrow night's budget that you think will impress the voters enough to vote for you in May?
Well, what the budget tomorrow will show that the coalition has been successful over the last 5.5 years in making the economy stronger, creating more jobs, driving the unemployment rate down, and indeed putting the budget on a stronger and improving trajectory for the future, so that all of the essential services Australians rely on can be funded. Funding can be guaranteed in the budget. I mean, people will remember that when Bill Shorten and Chris Bowen were last in government, they left behind a weakening economy, rising unemployment and a rapidly deteriorating budget position. We've been able to turn that situation around, and you know, this is not the time to take risks with a high-taxing, anti-business, class warfare, central planning, central command agenda that would make the economy weaker and would make all Australians poorer.
The headline of tomorrow night's budget will undoubtedly be the surplus, but I mean, I know you made a few claims there, but how much has the government actually had to do with delivering that first surplus since Peter Costello's budget in 2007? It's thanks to high prices for coal and iron ore and an underspend in the NDIS, isn't it?
Well, that is completely false. Firstly, the iron ore price is actually still lower than what it was when we came into government in September 2013.
Yeah, but it's bounced back in the last 12 months.
Well, you can't have it both ways. So when we came into government, the iron ore price was $120 a tonne. It's now down to $80 a tonne, thereabouts, so significantly lower. But yes, you're right. I mean, our revenue forecasts, our revenue assumptions are based on much more responsible, much more cautious, conservative forecasting assumptions than Labor ever did. Labor assumed and hoped for the best, spent all the money they thought it would rise, and then, of course, ended up in trouble. Labor cannot manage money. What we've done, we've controlled expenditure growth, obviously much better. Expenditure growth under our period in government has been less than 2% all the way through, the lowest expenditure growth of any government over the last 50 years. Under Labor, that was double. Under Labor, expenditure was headed for 26.5% as a share of the economy and rising. Under us, we've been able to bring that down to below 25%. And if you look at the half-yearly budget update, you'll be able to see that we're projected to come down below the 30-year average when it comes to government expenditure as a share of the economy, in the half-yearly budget update, down to 24.6% at the end of the forward estimates. Now, there's numbers will be updated tomorrow. But
I was going to say, if you look at that half-yearly update, you'll also see there's $9 billion tucked away there, slated, we imagine, for, it's called decisions but not yet announced. Will every one of those dollars be spent and more on tax cuts and on, I mean, we read today in The Australian, $1 billion for beefing up freight networks and roads in regional Australia. I mean, there's a lot of money being thrown around.
Well, governments don't spend money on tax cuts. A tax cut is a decision by government to leave Australians with more of their own money, money that they have earned. That it is a decision by government to take less money out of people's pockets. It's not expenditure. And you're right. I mean, we've got a commitment as a government to keep the tax burden on the economy below 23.9% as a share of the economy, as part of our commitment to ensure that our economy can continue to be strong and indeed stronger into the future, that employment growth can continue to be strong and indeed stronger into the future, that the unemployment unemployment rate can continue to be brought down. I mean, we inherited a rising unemployment rate.
So that's confirming there will be more tax cuts tomorrow night to keep within that?
Well, I mean, we've been on the public record for some time now that in saying that we imposed a 23.9% tax cap as a share of GDP on ourselves, and we've made the decisions. We've made the decisions in past budgets and budget updates in order to, of course, fulfil that commitment. And what Australians will see is that we will continue to fill that commitment that we've made as part of a commitment to keep the economy strong and to ensure that Australians have the best possible opportunity to get ahead.
How do you think a lot of Australians are going to respond to this notion of a surplus? I'm sure they will. The government may get some applause for that, but people are feeling the pinch. Wages growth has been flat or just off the table for some years now. We've got falling house prices. What do you think it's going to take for people to, pat you on the back for a surplus when they're doing it so tough?
Well, I mean, when we came into government, the economy was weakening, unemployment was rising, and rising unemployment means that, of course, wages will be lower than they otherwise would be. Under our period in government, over the last 5.5 years, on the back of a stronger economy, stronger employment growth, a lower unemployment rate, wages growth has been stronger than it would have been.
Wages growth is not strong, Minister. You're not telling people listening wages growth is strong, are you?
What I've said just now, if you listen to me, wages growth has been stronger than it would have been if we had not reversed rising unemployment rate that we inherited from the Labor Party. It stands to reason, into the future, if we can continue to strengthen economic growth, if we can continue to strengthen employment growth, if we can continue to drive the unemployment rate down, wages growth will strengthen into the future.
With respect, Minister, you and the Reserve Bank Governor and others have been telling people that for at least more than a year now, and it's still not happening. Now, admittedly, that's not the orthodoxy, but it is not happening.
Let me finish my answer here. The alternative, Labor's agenda of $200 billion in higher taxes, which would lead to less investment into the economy, lower growth, fewer jobs, higher unemployment, would lead to lower wages. I mean, an agenda pursued by Labor, which is anti-business, anti-aspiration, higher taxes, central planning and command, will weaken the economy, and a weaker economy will lead to lower wages. Our agenda is an agenda of stronger growth, more jobs, lower unemployment, and higher wages over time.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 18 to 8. Our guest is the Federal Finance Minister, Matthias Cormann. Minister, the ratings agency Moody's is worried about Australia's debt position and has put the government on notice not to splash the cash tomorrow. It's forecasting government debt will rise to 43% of GDP by mid-2020. As the Finance Minister, wouldn't you prefer to see this $9 billion plus that we're talking about going towards reducing debt, especially with the headwinds that the economy is now facing?
Well, again, I mean, we've inherited a rapidly deteriorating budget position and have been able to turn that situation around. We are about to deliver a surplus. And indeed, if you look at our half-yearly budget update, it shows that from 2019-20 onwards, that the budget would remain in surplus all the way over the medium term, which means that all the way over the medium term, we will be paying down debt. And indeed, the Prime Minister has previously announced that over the medium term in this budget, that our intention is to completely eliminate government net debt.
So what's the timeline on that?
Well, over the current medium term, so that is over the period 2019-20 to 2029-30, like over the next decade, under our plan, as the Prime Minister has previously announced, we are working to fully eliminate government net debt.
Right. Minister, about to speak with Mark Butler, the Shadow Climate Change Minister for Labor's spokesperson on energy and climate. Labor will not use Kyoto credits to reach its 45% reduction target in emissions. Big polluters will be penalised if they breach tougher emission standards. And there's a big push to clean up the transport sector, including a 50% target for electric cars by 2030. All the polls suggest people want more action on climate change. Is Labor about to outbid you here?
Well, firstly, when we came into government, Labor left behind a massive deficit when it comes to the 2020 emissions reduction target of about 755 million tonnes of CO2. And we turned that around to the point where we're now on track to exceed the Kyoto emissions target by 367 million tonnes of CO2. Labor talks a lot, but what they've put out in the papers today would harm the economy, would harm families, would cost jobs, would drive up unemployment. And indeed, Labor would bring back a carbon tax. They would force people across across Australia to pay tens of billions of dollars in higher taxes, only for them to send that money overseas to buy international carbon
permits. I can't see a carbon tax in that policy. They're adopting your safeguard mechanism, which is your policy.
You seem to be deliberately ignoring the fact that Labor has confirmed that they want to send money overseas to buy international carbon permits. That means that they will be imposing tens of billions of dollars in higher taxes on Australians that should remain either in Australians' pockets so they can spend it here in Australia on things that they want to buy, or should be available to government to invest in essential services here in Australia. If Labor wants to buy international carbon permits, as they've said they would, they will have to increase the tax burden on Australians by tens of billions of dollars more than they should. And that clearly is going back to the carbon tax, the discredited carbon tax arrangements of past Labor governments.
All right, we'll put that to Mark Butler in a moment. Just finally, you are not up for re-election as a senator at this election. Your Senate term has another 3 years to run. If the Coalition loses the election, will you serve out your full term?
Well, I'm absolutely in it for the long haul.
Matthias Cormann, thank you very much for joining us.
Always good to talk to you.
Matthias Cormann is the Federal Finance Minister and the Leader of the Government in the Senate. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 7:45.